he's Sarva Avatari. And he's a poem called Purna Bhagavan. He's a complete form of Bhagavan.
Because Radha and Krishna combine in one golden avatar, as Lord Chaitanya. And during his manifest pastimes in Navadvip and all throughout India, especially in Navadvip, he often showed showed his various avatars and incarnations. Sometimes he appeared as Ram, sometimes as Viratarupa, Vishnu, etc. So this particular entry is about Gaura appearing as Lord Shiva, and this comes from Madhya Kanda with Sri Chaitanya Mangal. Once a follower of Lord Shiva came to see Gauranga as Lord Chaitanya. He offered respects to the Lord and joyfully praised Lord Mahesh, or Lord Shiva. In his body, this Shaivite displayed signs of love for Lord Shiva. It means that he maybe was crying, or his hair was standing up, or he had some type of astasattvic bhavs being displayed in his body. Vishwambar, another name for Lord Chaitanya, he was very pleased to hear the glories of Mahadev from that Shaivite. Suddenly, adopting the mood of Mahesh, Gauranga started dancing in ecstasy. Seeing this, the Shaivite became overwhelmed with happiness. Then that fortunate Shaivite put Gauranga on his shoulders and began dancing madly. He's really fortunate. Imagine having Radha and Krishna sitting on your shoulders while you're dancing. I mean, so many times you've danced, but I don't think you've ever had that experience. Gauranga's eyes turned red, and he began talking like Shiva. Whatever that is. Vishwambar held a trident and a damaru. That's that small drum, damaru. And he roared like the sound of a horn. Gauranga cried and laughed as he chanted the names of Krishna and Ram. To pacify the Lord, Srivas Pandit, who knows all the different tattvas, started reciting prayers in glorification of Lord Shiva. Mukunda Datta also chanted hymns to Shiva. Joining in, Gauranga's associates danced beside the Lord. Lord Gauranga went wild in his ecstasy of glorifying and serving Lord Hari. After some time, Gauranga climbed down from the Shaivite's shoulders. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the ocean of mercy personified, thus manifested his compassion. Lochandas finds great happiness in describing these joyful events. So that was Lord Chaitanya assuming the bhav and mood of Lord Shiva and enacting his somewhat like his tandava nritya, although he was on the shoulders of this Shaivite, but he assumed the mood of Lord Shiva. So the Shaivite felt that he was carrying not Lord Gauranga, but his own Lord Shiva. Because one who has a particular Ishtadev, he will try to see his Ishtadev everywhere, especially in the hearts of other living entities. And that when you're in love with God, then you can love everyone. But when you have no love, when your love is circumscribed, then it becomes very limited to just family and friends. And it's a very small circle. It can't contain very many people, what to speak of living entities. But when one loves God, then his circle is as big as the universe, because God is universal, omnipotent, and omniscient. So when one loves God, then his family is everyone. Everyone is his family member, because God is the father of everyone. Aham bija prada pita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, aham bija prada pita. I am the seed-giving father of every living entity. God is the origin of all creation and all life. So when one loves God, then he loves all men and all women and all animals and birds and squirrels and everyone. And he tries to feed them all. And he feels, because he feels not that they're animals or other creatures, but he feels they're my Lord. They're my Lord's representatives. They're my Lord's parts and parcels. They're my God brothers. So he doesn't think dog and cat and bird and fly. He thinks rather bhakta dog. Bhakta dog, bhakta squirrel, bhakta sister, bhakta brother, bhakta. Everyone's bhakta. Everyone's a devotee. So he sees like this, because he sees in everyone's heart as his Lord. So this Shaivite was most happy to meet Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was most happy to meet the Shaivite, because the Shaivite, he was displaying love for his Ishtadev, who was Lord Shiva. So to please that devotee, Lord Chaitanya, who was also Lord Shiva, he manifested the mood of Lord Shiva, and he got on his shoulders, just like Shiva gets on the shoulders of Nandi, the bull. So this man, the Shaivite, became Nandi, and Chaitanya became Shiva. And he was, his eyes became red, and he was dancing wildly, and all of a sudden a Damru appeared there, and he started rattling the Damru, and the trident appeared there, and he took on all the signs of Shiva and the mood of Shiva. So it was very much giving pleasure to that Shaivite, because his Ishtadev is Shiva. So it was very easy for him to see Shiva in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now there's a very curious event, that there are some, another pastime, there are some regulations which guide behavior for the Vaishnav Samaj. And these regulations, behavioral edicts, are contained in various scriptures, and they are to be followed by the Vaishnavas so that they can progress in bhakti and get the desired result. So one such niyam or rule is that a Vaishnava is forbidden to eat food of Lord Shiva, Shiv Prasad, because the food remnants of someone, they contain the, because if they, for example, if I have some very contagious disease and I chew on that food and my saliva is mixed in that food, and then you come and eat that food which was in my, partially in my mouth or eaten by me, there's a good chance if your resistance is weak or your immunity system is weak that you'll contract that disease and come down with that infection. So that's material, how we transfer one disease to another by food. But in spiritual circles or in transcendental circles, when one takes the remnants from an Ishtadev or his Ishta, then he also gets the saliva of the Ishta. In technical terms, it's called Krishna Phala. Or Krishna Phala. Phala means the saliva of Lord Krishna is mixed in the food. So Krishna's saliva is Krishna. Namrup, Guna, Leela, Vishishta, they're all Krishna. Krishna's inside and outside are transcendental and spiritual. So when we take the prasad, Krishna relished it, he ate it, and moreover, that prasad is always cooked and prepared and offered by Srimati Radhika. Radhika is the greatest devotee of the Lord and his intimate consort, and she cooks everything for him in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening also. And she cooks in his own house in the morning, Nandagram, which you read, I think, one day. You maybe read about that pastime to me. So, and then in the afternoon, she brings out items with her when she meets Krishna in the afternoon at Radhakund, and she offers him. Also, the Sakis and Mandris, they pick fruits, and then they go in Champakalata's kitchen, and they wash them off, and then they cut them up, and then they offer them to Radharani and the other, and to Krishna, offers them to Krishna. Then in the evening time, Radharani's in her own house in Barsanara Yavat. And then she also makes five kinds of sweets, very special sweets, Siddhi Vilas, Amrita. Some of them are actually tarts, what we call tarts. Being in England or having English connections, you know about tarts. Tarts like a mini pie type thing, tart. So she makes some tarts and different types of sweets. One's called Ganga Jal Ladus, which is appropriate on this day because Shiva holds a Ganga on his head. And we bathe him with some Ganga Jal. So Ganga Jal Ladus, and one is called Ananga Gutika. Ananga, of course, means Cupid, Ananga. So these are five sweets that Radharani cooks in the evening time. And then she sends two of those sweets, she sends by her sakis from Barsana. They take them to Nandagram. They give to Krishna for his evening meal, which is about this time. Well, no, earlier than this, about 8:30 at night. And then three sweets she saves for later on at Rasa Dance. About 12:30, 1 o'clock, they have Rasa Dance. So Radharani brings a little tiffin, or the Sakhi Manjaris, they bring some tiffin, and they give those sweets special sweets, because after you dance, then you get a little hungry. So then you have something like this. So this prasad that Krishna eats, or this rather bhog, when he eats it, it's bhog, it's enjoyment, it's for his pleasure. The food items are for his pleasure. They are basically prepared morning, noon, and night by Srimati Radharani. Her hand is there, her glance is there, and her heart is there, and her consciousness is there, her feelings are there, her love is there. So when one prepares food, if they're preparing it for someone they love, then they will inject or infuse their love into that item, that bhog. And so Radharani loves Krishna more than anything, more than her own life. Matpranatasu sevanaparaha. She's praying in Gambira, in the mood of Radhabhav. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Radharani's mood of love is praying, Mat prana natastu seiva naparaha. That no matter what happens, my Lord, no matter what you do to me, you throw me away, or you embrace me, or reject me, or never look at me, or run away from me, it doesn't matter that I have none other than you. I have no one else but you as my worshipful Lord. Not only my Lord, but you're the Lord of my very heart. Mat prana natas, prananath. Prana means heart, means life air, means existence. Nath means like Lord, Jagannath. You're the very Lord, you're the emperor of my heart, the Lord of my very life airs. So Radharani is of this mood. So when she cooks for Krishna or prepares food items, the bhog is full of her love, full of her anurag and mahabhav. So then Krishna is, that's what he's eating, that's what he's honoring, that's what he's respecting, that's what he's relishing, that's what he's enjoying. Radharani's love and her affection and her dedication and her surrender, which is utmost and topmost of anyone and everyone. So then Krishna is remembering Radharani. With every bite he's remembering Radharani. So then Krishna's mouth and his saliva and everything about Krishna is full of Radharani, remembering Radharani and appreciating Radharani's love and accepting her love and returning his love to her. So then that's the remnants. So a Krishna Bhakta, one is a worshipper of Radha and Krishna, he'll only want to eat that food which has the mood of love of Radharani. And the mood of love of Radharani is contained in Krishna's remnants, because her love is in that food. And then Krishna's mood of love for Radha is contained in the food. So the mood of Krishna's love for Radha and the mood of Radha's love for Krishna is contained in the bhoga, and we take it as Mahaprasad. Radha Krishna Mahaprasad, Giridhari Mahaprasad, Shamsundara Mahaprasad, Damodara Mahaprasad. So therefore, we have we don't want to mix any other flavors. If we have one, this heart usually has room for one lover, and if it's an absolute love, then there's no room for anyone else. So our ishta day, we have ishta. Like some, this is the general tendency: if someone has an ishta, your ishta devata or ishta devi. Who is your worshipful Lord or Goddess or Lord God? So therefore, the Vaishnavas, they don't eat Shiva food, because Shiva food has Shiva's mood and the mood of Shiva's worshippers, and it's something different. It's not Braj Bhakti. It's not Vrindavan Prem or Gopi Prem. It's not the love of Radharani. So they don't mix up. And even it says that it's forbidden for Vaishnavas to eat Shiva prasad, as it's forbidden for Shaivites to eat Vishnu Prasad. Because they will mix up their bhav. They'll contaminate their heart. A different bhav, a different mood. So now this is the prelude to this story, which is called, why did Lord Chaitanya accept Shiva Prasad? The next morning, as Mahaprabhu, is another name for Lord Chaitanya, is Mahaprabhu, again visited the deity of Viraja, who grants liberation to anyone who sees her. Viraja is a form of... it's just one deity, I'm not sure. But maybe it's something like the Viraja River or something. After paying obeisance and leaving the temple, Chaitanya displays symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. Walking with the gait of a powerful lion, the Lord came to the village of Ekamraka, which is the old name of Bhuvaneshwar, where Shiva and Parvati reside. Upon seeing the temple dome of Lord Shiva, Gauranga began running out of intense eagerness to see the Lord. A beautiful flag billowed atop the temple, Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to the temple flag before entering Ekamraka, an abode of Lord Shiva, abounding in Shiva temples. It's told that, it says right here, along with the town's main Shiva linga, which is called Vishveshwara, there are 10 million Shiva lingas in Bhuvaneshwara. So if you tell your husband that you're going out for darshan, I'll be right back, I'm only going for darshan of Lord Shiva. It might take a while to see 10 million Shiva deities. Give you a good excuse to run away for a few months. Hare Krishna. So the earth of Bhuvaneshwar appeared like Sandesh. That sounds good. It's like Alice in Wonderland or something. The water of all the holy places meets in a lake called Bindu Sarovara. Different places of pilgrimage also exist here in Ekamraka. Lord Gaura Hari, it's also Lord Chaitanya, offered respects to the deities of Shiva and Parvati. Upon seeing them, all the devotees forgot the troubles of traveling. Gauranga became numb and staggered in ecstasy as he looked at Mahesh. His lips turned red, tears streamed down his eyes, and bumps of ecstasy formed on his body as Lord Chaitanya chanted prayers to Lord Shiva. And this is a good time to chant the prayer, the exact prayer the Lord Chaitanya chanted, which is known as Shivastakam. Because traveling with him was one devotee named Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was a physician, and he was living in Navadweep, West Bengal, and he was traveling to Jagannath Puri, and also, this is on their way to Jagannath Puri. So he heard Lord Chaitanya recite this prayer from his holy lips, then he wrote it in his diary. And his diary constitutes the basis of this book, which is called Sri Chaitanya Mangal, by another associate of Lord Chaitanya known as Lochandas Thakur.